to try to get a sense of what this evening is all about, to try to get a sense of what it means to us here in 2013 and what it means for somebody, probably even me tonight, to get a sense of how God can use our broken places, how God can show us that He really does forgive us, and He calls us to a life of holiness. And of course, Good Friday is a day to be reminded of His passion. Some of you heard me tell this story before. It was back in 1991. My firstborn, my Shauna, who of course is living with Dalton there in Nashville, is a married couple. And you know, when your firstborn is born, it's a special moment. And I was a made-to-be-ready dad. I was already so proud of her. She was doing so well there in that nursery there at Stormont Vale Hospital those first couple days. And I remember it was one day I was getting ready to leave to go to seminary, which is 60 miles to the east. And I thought I'd go say goodbye to Shauna there in the nursery, there in her little bassinet there at Stormont Vale Hospital. And I went in, and there was a lot of babies. There was about 10 little babies there that day. And and one of those little babies was just crying. One was just pitching a fit. That's what we say in Kansas, pitching a fit. And I was trying to find Shauna, and you know the little babies, most of them all just look the same. And so I was trying to find out which one was Shauna to wave goodbye to her. And then I noticed that she was the one crying. And I noticed that as I looked a little, and I was trying to figure out what's up, and see, I'm a dad now, I'm a father, I'm concerned, and I began to look at her, and you know, there was a glass there, they don't let you get in there, and I was looking, and I saw there was some blood on her foot. I thought one of those other babies had hurt my daughter somehow. Well, I'm a dad now, and I'm still the same dad now, some 20-some years later, but I said, well, my daughter's in trouble, she needs my help. I'm going to go help her. She's bleeding. Does anybody know? Does anybody know she's bleeding? And I went around the corner, and there was a nurse that met me at the doorway. She knew that I had that look on my face. And I said, hey, that one little baby, that's my little baby. That's my daughter, and she's bleeding. And she said, Dad. The nurse said, Dad. She called me Dad. I hadn't been called that all my life, of course. She said, she's okay. We do that. It's a blood test. All the babies get it. She's okay. She's going to be okay. And I looked at her and I said, okay, she's okay. She said, she's okay. And I went out and got in my little Honda Civic and began to drive to Kansas City. But I remember sitting in that little Honda Civic, and it struck me for the first time, I could maybe understand what God felt that Friday, looking down on His one and only Son. Tonight we continue to acknowledge and celebrate what the blood of Jesus accomplishes for all of us. Hebrews 9:12 says, He did not enter by the means of the blood of goat and calves, but He entered the most holy place once and for all by His own blood. And then it says in Hebrews 10, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, we can now enter in. And in the Jewish temple that of course Jesus was a Jewish person, and he came from the line of Jewish people, there was the temple is very important. And the outer part of the temple is a holy place, and that's where you come and the priest washes his hands. But one time of year there was the most holy place that only the great high priest could enter in. And that's the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur. And that is one time of year the great high priest can enter in. And we understand the Jewish history that is so significant for us as Christians and for most of us as Gentiles. And now, tonight, we can enter that most holy place. We can enter by the blood of Jesus. The temple of God represents the heart of God. And in Mark 15:38, it says the temple was torn in two. It revealed the very heart of God that Friday 2,000 years ago. And now we can enter to the very heart of God because of the blood of Jesus. And now we as holy people, as cleansed people, can walk into the very presence of God because Jesus Christ died and he was the sacrifice. Revelation says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins, his love sets us free. His love and passion for us sets us free. And then in Hebrews 10, it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. It was a revival service somewhere here in America. And it was an evening, and the revival service was going pretty long. And that was when the pastors all sat up front. And it was during worship, and the pastor of that church was up there worshiping before his congregation. And all of a sudden, a little boy runs up on the platform, and he puts his arms around the pastor of that church, and his father picks him up and hugs him. And I'm sure there were some people in the congregation going, what's that little boy doing up there? Well, the little boy was the pastor's son. And the little boy had to go home to go to bed because it was getting late. But the pastor's son knew wherever his dad was, he could always approach him no matter where he was. You see, the relationship between God and us had been strained. It is strained because of sin. And of course, the history of the covenants, the blood covenants, the blood of bulls and goats, of course, was set up. And yet, 2,000 years ago and during this week, Jesus Christ was during the Passover time. He illustrated what he was going to do in Luke 22 and 20. He says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Some would say, what in the world was God doing? What is God doing? He, through Christ, was drawing broken, sinful people like me and like you to himself again. You see, God was the one who couldn't stand the distance. God was the one who couldn't stand to be away from his creation. May I invite you once again tonight on this Good Friday service to draw near to God. And we can draw near to God with full assurance that he loves us. With full assurance that he can forgive every sin. You mean that sin, Pastor? I mean that sin. I mean that sin. I mean that day, that night, that week, that year. Jesus Christ, by the power of his brokenness and sacrifice, he forgives it all. And so we can draw near. We can come tonight. And then it says in Hebrews 10, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we professed, for he who promises it is faithful. I can tell tonight by spending Friday evening with us that your hope is in him. That's what Easter's about. We preachers and Christians, of course, we love Easter. We love Holy Week, and some of us wish it could be that way all year, and every week's Holy Week. But we're glad tonight that our hope is in Jesus Christ. There is hope. Now, we have a narrow hope, don't we? We have a singular hope. We have an exclusive hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. That's our hope. That's what we believe. That's what we profess. We don't have a lot of avenues to hope. We have one hope, and that was the Via Dolorosa, the road of Calvary that Jesus walked before us. That is our hope, and we're to hold unswervingly to that hope. We love the old song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. That's your hope. That's my hope. And if somebody slipped in tonight and your hope has been wide and broad, let me just narrow it tonight to that single person on the cross, Jesus Christ. If you'll put your hope in him, your life will be new. Your sins will be forgiven. Your today can have hope, and your tomorrow looks really good, friend, if you put your hope in Jesus. A couple of years ago, a young man, about 25 years of age, by the name of Stephen Kiley, he is the man on our left there. He's a young man in his 20s somehow, and he came to church one Sunday in Texas, somewhere in Texas. I think Arlington is where he lives. And he came to church, and during church service, the pastor or the leader of the church, whoever that was, sent out a notice that there was a need for a, blood marrow donation to some for some folks to give blood. They needed blood, and Stephen, Kylie kind of felt like that's what God wanted him to do. And so he went and he gave some blood. And word came back there really wasn't a match for his bone marrow, I guess, is what they needed. There really wasn't a match for that. But yet, he felt like he obeyed God. Well, about 7 months later, somehow Stephen Kylie was notified, hey, we found a match. We found a match for the bone marrow. You see, there's a 13-year-old girl by the name of Katrina Smith, my niece. We found a match. And as some of you know, a couple years ago, my niece Katrina, my sister's second daughter, of course, her father had passed away with the same disease of leukemia about 2 years before this. They told us that the only way that Katrina could survive, the only way, was bone marrow transplant. How could Stephen know? How could he know? Sitting in church. By the way, I just learned this 2 weeks ago. How convenient. That his blood, his bone marrow, whatever all that stuff is, saved my niece's life. His blood, Jesus, saved my life. His sacrifice saves our life. So where's our hope? Tonight, we want to do one more thing. We've created a symbolic way for us to claim that hope and that victory in our lives tonight. In a moment, we're going to invite anybody who wants to come. And we have several hundred here. I know how many can fit in this area. And believe it or not, there are several hundred of you here tonight. So it might take a little bit, but we have time. There are eight stations, basically, or four stations where I think four can fit or whatever. And you'll find soap and water and towels to wipe and clean your hands after you do one thing. If you place a handprint on the canvas. We can make lines and down the aisles and all those things, but we want you to carefully and prayerfully approach the canvas as you wait for your turn. You see, we all face struggles and brokenness and situations, and we require a God-sized hope and healing tonight. What you want to do, and I'm going to illustrate this in a moment, we want you to write something personal. I already know what I'm going to write. I've already confessed to this good congregation, and I've gone through a season this last year, a season of doubt and a season of weakness. And God's already using that weakness for His glory. I know what I'm going to write on this canvas. And as you write whatever it is that you want God to cover, we're going to ask you to put your hand in red paint. Yes, red paint. And then put your hand over what you've written. And ask God to take it. Ask God to be glorified in whatever it is that you need Him to deal with in your life. It may be for cleansing. It may be for healing. It may be for the completion of your story. And there'll be places and things to wipe your hands. And we'd like you to go. We'd like you to go back to your seat after we've all done this, or those who want to do this, because we want to sing one more hymn. We want to sing one more hymn and go and leave in the quietness of the hymn and knowing that Jesus had made a difference.